Well, good morning, everybody. Beautiful morning, nice and hot outside. How many are going to the beach after the service? Oh, no, one is. A couple, maybe, perhaps. Oh, another one, there you go. Perhaps a perfect day for it, I would think. Make sure you put plenty of sunscreen on, all right, Micah? Yeah? Good. All right, let's commit this time to prayer. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you that you are an everlasting God. You're a God who was and is and will forever shall be. Lord God, we just thank you that you are here in our midst this morning, Lord. Lord, we just seek that your word will just penetrate into each of our hearts, Lord God. Lord, teach us, Lord, what you want us to learn this morning, we pray. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. It's actually my pleasure this morning because I didn't tell my family I was preaching, but they're here and they're waving their finger at me. Naughty, naughty Noel. but thank you for coming along. I've got my nephew there, Aaron, and his friend there as well is here. So thank you. God bless you both for coming, as well as Mum and Dad. Yes, amen. I'm just going to share a little bit initially, just a bit about myself, just something perhaps may not be very well known, and just some things that happened in my life that really draw me towards Jesus and towards God. After I finished secondary school, I had passed VC, praise God. And I got accepted into a course into university at Swinburne University to study a Bachelor's of Science and majoring in chemistry. That's such a long time ago. Yes, it sounds impressive, but you know, it's like any university student. You just put your head down to work. You do what you got to do, and you know, with diligence, you get through at the other end, regardless. And so, praise God. You know, I went through those years, but. There was one occasion, there was a lecture that I attended, and I don't know what happened that day. The lecturer was on some kind of religious or anti-Christian sort of mode at that time. And of course, as all of us know, out in the world, there are other philosophies or counterfeits for what God has done, and that is in creating us, creating the universe. There are many that believe that the universe just came into being without there being a God. And this lecturer was very much pushing that ideology, that belief. And it had nothing to do with the course material. I think he was just on some kind of an agenda on that particular day. So I was listening to what he was saying. And I wasn't... by that stage, you know, I was regularly attending church. I was born again. Still am, praise God. But you know, I was listening to what he was saying and just thinking about, you know, what could I say to show this person that there really is a God, that there really is a creator. And all through my course, actually, there is a couple of principles, laws. Anyone who's doing science, year 10, year 11, year 12, no one does science here. Okay, that's all right. University, no. But there is a couple of laws in science that are fundamental. And one of the ones that really has spoken to me is what they call the second law of thermodynamics, which is the law of entropy. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit this morning. But this law rides against everything that this guy was saying. Yet despite this law being demonstrated and proven in laboratories and in life, in nature, all around us, so many people just ignore it and put their faith in some things that sound good to the ear if you don't want to know about God. And so today we're going to have a look at that law, how it applies to us, both physically, naturally and spiritually as well. Because it's very important. I think this is a law that came into being through sin entering the world, and is very much discussed about in the Bible as well. So let's get into it. So this is the law of entropy. that I'm going to talk a little bit about this morning. And by the time today is finished, you're going to understand what entropy is. You're going to be able to talk about entropy, and you're going to know how that how it affects your life, how it affects the world around you, but how to overcome it spiritually as well, and through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. So, according to the second law of thermodynamics, entropy is in an isolated system never decreases. So what does that mean? Is that whenever you've got something, a substance of some description, give it enough time, it will decay. For instance, steel will rust, sandstone will erode, you know, things will decay. That's what entropy is all about. So in a system, so the measure of entropy is the the higher the entropy, the greater the decrease, the greater the decay. Okay, so you can remember that. So repeat after me. The higher the entropy, the greater the decay. Right, okay. So things will decay with increased entropy. Now, entropy is something that is all around us in nature. In fact, the systems around in nature around us rely on entropy. And I'll just put that one up on the board there, Justin, please. Now, this one we're all familiar with because this is how we get water, how we get rain. Okay, this is a system. It's a closed system on our planet. Now, interestingly enough, on the other planets, other worlds, other moons around in our solar system, this does not exist. The conditions have to be right for this to occur. Okay, so you need the right amount of energy being created by the sun to evaporate water from the ocean, and then as the water rises in altitude, it cools, and then it precipitates condenses into clouds and precipitates as rain, and we get fresh water this way. Isn't it wonderful? No other place anywhere in the universe has it been discovered that this occurs. Now, of course, there is water in other places around in the universe, but the conditions are not right for this system to occur that we've discovered. I'm not saying that some place out in the universe somewhere, perhaps there is a planet where this could occur, but so far we haven't discovered that. And of course, we rely on this for the essence of being able to sustain life. Now, there'll be many scientists that believe that this system is actually one of the things that has created life. We believe differently. God created life, but he gave us this to sustain us through fresh water. And it only happens on Earth as far as we are aware. So praise God for that. So yeah, many systems in nature rely on entropy to create. So for instance, how does entropy work in this system? Is that at the different temperatures based on the altitude and the amount of energy the sun produces, different conditions occur which creates an imbalance. And so that's how the cycle works. It works through imbalances due to temperature changes and possibly also to a lesser extent pressure changes as well. And that's how cycles occur in our body and in nature as well. Just those changes creates an equilibrium as they all combine together. And that's what a cycle is. So whenever you think about cycles in the universe or on Earth, in nature, in our bodies, think about entropy and equilibrium, allowing that to just continue. Now, atheists would try to tell you is that through millions and millions and billions of years and through randomness, things have came to being. Like for instance, we've come to be evolved due to these random processes finally locking into place and creating a system or creating DNA in our bodies. Now, for instance, with DNA, that's information that basically is used to create who we are physically. So, for instance, and also too mentally. So, for instance, the colour of our eyes, our hair, the skin colour, everything that we're made up of is programmed into this DNA. Now, I'm a computer programmer. That's my work. And I can tell you that if... Now, as arguably an intelligent being, if I can create software, right? I can create computer programs that do something. That if you were to look at the program code and read it, you'll be able to understand it with a little bit of training what that code is doing. But it takes an intellect to be able to do that, and anyone can do it with the right training. Now, if I was to close my eyes and put my headphone on, and probably sometimes Jeremy has looked across and see me closing my eyes, probably not programming at that time, but if I'm closing my eyes and I just tap on the keyboard randomly, and if I hit go, what's the chances of that program actually doing something?
Zero.
Absolutely zero. There is no way. I could do that, I reckon, for a billion years, as some of the scientists would say, and I would still produce no code that would work. And that is what atheists are proposing has occurred with us, that by some random combination of things, our DNA is created, and then we get the variations in who we are as people. You know, Micah and I look a little bit different. And, you know, and definitely many of you, or all of you, are all unique and different in many ways. And, and these are all variations in our genetic code. But the underlying thread is the same. We still have the same species, as the word says. We're the same kind. And it just makes more sense to think, well, there's got to be a creator who programmed that DNA than me randomly typing something into a keyboard and producing something that works. All right, so if we have a look at the next slide, does anyone know what this is? London, well, it formerly was called London Bridge. It's now called London Arch, I've been told. Sorry. No, wrong way. London, it is London Arch. Yeah, London Arch now. But yes, it used to be called London Bridge. And what happened, there was an expanse that actually crossed that, whether you see that gap there today, there was an expanse, a second arch that was there, hence was called London Bridge, because it looked like London Bridge, right? So what happened back in 1990, not long ago, there was enough erosion that occurred in that arch that the actual thing collapsed. And in fact, there were people stranded on the other side. Praise God they were safe. They hadn't been crossing at the time, but they had to be rescued by helicopter because they were stuck there. Yeah. Now, again, it's an example of entropy. Okay, so because due to the erosion, the bridge became unstable. And so because there was nothing holding it back up, that the rocks that were up on that part, upper part of the arch were seeking a lower state of energy. So, of course, due to the erosion, it all fell down. And that's what entropy does. Without there being work to hold something up, it's going to naturally progress to a lower state of energy. And so that's why things collapse like that. If you'd like to check out the next slide there, Justin, please. That's how it used to look before the collapse. Yeah, you remember that? I don't think I've been there at that time. I think Kathy and I have been there after the collapse, but not before. But yeah, that's how it looked prior. And if you'd like to go to the next slide there, Jeremy. Sorry, Justin. We all know what this is. 12 apostles. Well, actually, there's not 12 anymore. And in fact, it's only really in recent... The first explorers, the European explorers, saw 12, but within that short period of time, quite a few of them have eroded into nothing. That's how quickly this process is. And quite often, we're not told that the process of erosion on coastlines is actually quite fast. And in fact, all of these at some point would have been arches like London Bridge, and have all have collapsed at some point in history. And eventually, the previous apostles that were there, they will also disappear at some probably not too distant future as well. Looking at the dictionary as well, in society, entropy is actually a common term that is used. And it actually describes, interestingly enough, the inevitable and steady deterioration of a society or a system. So it's acknowledged that society as a whole, once if it's left and there isn't any work being done to maintain that society and input something positive in that society, it will degrade into a lower state, which is frightening. But you see that happening in so many places. If you look at empires grow and the empires fall. There at some point, they will enter back into a lower state in their history. Now, also too, God warns us about entropy. God warns us about decay in the Bible also. And there's often quite a number of terms that are used to describe it. Sorry, you can take that off, please, Justin. The words like decay are used in Scripture. Rotting, corruption, curse, destruction. These are all synonyms or equal terms to the scientific form of the word entropy, and describes the direction where the world is headed since sin entered into the world. Now, there was no... Prior to the fall of man, or prior to the sin entering the world, there was no reference to decay. There was no reference to disease. There was no reference to corruption or anything like that. This all happened as a result of sin entering into the world. And in fact, in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 18, now men... I want you to listen carefully to this one too, especially carefully. It's for everybody, but men particularly, I want you to listen to this one. Through laziness, the rafters sag because of idle hands, the house leaks. Now, how many of us men here have a house that needs a bit of work? Hands up, anybody? Notice I've got a hand that it's up to. Quite a few of us have a house that needs work. And if we sit down and do nothing, what's going to happen to that house? Your wives are going to get very upset with you, aren't they? Praise God, my wife is very patient with me. And she's very good. She knows I'm a very busy person, and she's been very good at being patient and waiting a long time for a lot of things to be fixed up. But I recently did something in my house too, as well, which I will share. Would you like to put up the next slide, please, Justin? Oh, that looks pretty mean and nasty, doesn't it? I've got a deck at home, okay, and it's got several wooden pillars, or posts, I should say. And these posts, as you can see down the bottom here, there's been a bit of decay there. A little bit of entropy has struck in there, and they've been starting to rot down the bottom. And us men, we're very good at turning a blind eye to things like that, aren't we? We tend to think, oh, that'll be all right. You know, it's okay. It's still holding up the roof, you know. But, you know, and occasionally Kathy would mention, oh, look, you know, those fence posts probably should be changed. And I said, yeah, look, I think you're right. But after a few months, possibly a couple of years actually, eventually I put some attention into it. And if you have a look at the next slide, okay, that's just a closer up. Okay, we don't need to see that. The next one again. I finally got round to doing it. And I put the post up. And as you can see, if you get another next slide there, Justin... There we go. No rot. In fact, I sealed it. I put so much work into making sure water could not get in there. Because I don't want to do this again for as long as I'm in that house. So I made sure it was... But it took work. I had to put some effort into making that post. Firstly, to change, to get rid of the old post, but then also to put this new post in, to replace it, to level it all up, to make sure it's well sealed. There's about 3 coats of paint on it. And on the bottom there's sealant as well. So I want to make sure it does not rot. But yes, and this is the point I want to make. There needs to be some work that needs to be put into the system in order to keep entropy away. And in fact, if you have a look at the... we won't look at it on the screen, but if you cast your mind back to when we looked at the water cycle before, there's energy being put into that system all the time by the sun to maintain it. If you take the sun away, or if the sun gets too hot, then that system is going to fail, because entropy entropy on one of those components of the cycle will take control and will kill the whole system. So should we neglect our relationship with God, not put any effort into it, not study the Word, not fellowship with each other, just to let things just sort of slip and slide, then guess what's going to happen? Entropy is going to settle in, isn't it? Entropy is going to go up and decay is going to set in, and we're going to become complacent. We're going to lose our passion. So that second law of thermodynamics can affect us as well spiritually if we don't put in the work to maintain and build our spiritual walk and to grow. We've got to put the effort in. In fact, Pastor Chris last week spoke a little bit about this as well, about, you know, just because we're entering to the holiday season, it doesn't give us an excuse to slow down, to get a bit lax, a bit lazy. We've got to keep on maintaining our relationship with God, keep on pressing in there. Now, in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, it says, "I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth." So there's a warning for us there, isn't there? That if we don't continue to drive our passion through love for Jesus, then we our natural tendency is to become lukewarm. It's the natural order of things. It's what happens. By doing nothing, things don't improve. By doing nothing, things decay. Entropy sets in. So these are pretty strong words, and Jesus didn't mince words, or doesn't mince words. The Bible gives us the black and the white, the absolute. So the challenge is that we desire our relationship with Jesus each day and not become complacent. And one thing that is the best driver of all to keep our passion level up, to keep us pressing in, is love. Love is the great motivator. When you love somebody, when you love something, it motivates you to be intimate, to be with that person. And we need to tap into that love that we have for the Lord to really press into Him. You know, if we neglect that love, if we ignore it, if we become complacent with it, then we lose that motivation that that God has given us to be driven towards Him. And love makes it easy, because it becomes part of our desire, part of what motivates us. So being motivated by love is better than being motivated by duty or by fear. You know, and these are things that perhaps, you know, we need to guard ourselves that we're not motivated by the wrong thing. You know, those are the things when you think about duty and fear, these are things that, you know, we find a drudgery in a way to remain focused on things, because it's not how God intended us to follow him. God intended us to be following him in love. And of course, too, when you have a wife or a husband, the desire, you know, you can't be motivated by fear or duty to be with that person. It's got to be out of love. That's where the heart of how God designed marriage and relationships to be built upon. So what about the starting point? Okay, if entropy is going from a state of a higher level down to a state of lower level, then somehow we must somehow reach that higher level in order for there to be entropy that occurs. And yes, you're right. Our relationship with God, there had to be something that was done. There had to be a high level that had to be obtained. But the good news is that we don't have to do any work to reach that high level. We don't have to do anything. We just have to make a choice. You know, God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, he did all the work. He's the one that put the energy in so that we can obtain that high state, that high energy level, that low entropy state. Just by simply making a choice for Jesus, we receive him into our lives, into our hearts, and then we become part of him, and he becomes part of us. You know, many times in history, men and women have tried to reach God under their own strength, put in the work. You know, and in every case, whenever we try to reach God, it's always failed. It just doesn't work. We had the law of Moses that came, and as much as man tried to do the work to reach those, to fulfill that law, only one man could do it, that being Jesus Christ. He's the only one that could fulfill that law. Mankind couldn't do it. And of course, through history, there's always been men and women that had that emptiness in their heart, deep down, where they felt they needed to worship something. Something was missing in their lives. And so they made their own gods. They made their own idols to worship. And even in the modern era today, men and women chase after things like money. As Pastor Pat shared this morning as well during the offering time, about how pointless it is to chase after money, because it doesn't lead us to where God is meant to be, in that place in our heart. But there's other things too that we chase after. You know, we might be chasing after a nice car or you know, a nice eye device or whatever the case may be in today's era. Maybe it's that that life partner that we're looking for that's going to fulfill that need in our heart. And yes, God designed for us to have a soulmate, you know, a wife or a husband, to be with us. But there's still that place that we need to have God in our lives, and that wife or husband is not ultimately going to fulfill that. Only God can, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. But you know, I'm so grateful that we have a God who is the great restorer. You know, we were born in a state of sin. We were born in a state of high entropy, as it were. We were born in a state of sin. And as I said before, as much as we try to find salvation for ourselves, we cannot do it. We cannot reach God on our own strength. But we have a God who understands this. And he put forward for us a great plan of salvation, a plan where he would bring to us the great restorer. He would bring to us the great renovator, as it were. Although he does more than renovate, he completely renews. He throws away the old in our life, and we become renewed, a new being, as it is, a new person. And in fact, in John 3:3, it says, Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And Jesus is talking about how we can't reach God in our physical state. We must reach God spiritually. You know, when we worship God in spirit and in truth. That's what the Bible says. And so Jesus has made a way that when we make a choice for him and we receive him as our Lord and as our Saviour and allow him into our life, that this transformation, this born-again experience happens instantaneously. It just we don't have to do any work. We just got to make the choice. And he will do the rest. He will do the work. And then just like that, in the blinking of an eye, we are transformed into a low entropy state spiritually. But then, of course, we need to then work on that relationship. We need to build that relationship up. We can't become lazy. We've got to build, we've got to get the word into our lives. And we've got to spend time with him and get to know our Saviour. Having our relationship with God restored through Jesus Christ and by rejecting sin and in building our relationship with him, by default, in heaven at least, we have defeated entropy. It no longer holds us at all. And there's a great scripture here that I'll read out. It's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. Now, each of us who are familiar with the scriptures would know this one. But if you look at this from a perspective of what I'm talking about this morning, I trust it'll just give you perhaps even a deeper understanding. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I think the scripture really encapsulates pretty much everything I'm trying to speak about this morning. That here on earth, we have this thing called entropy that causes decay, that causes corruption. Things will break down. If you have riches, it won't last here on this earth. And this is the result of this entropy that I'm talking about. But in heaven, entropy doesn't exist. That whatever is stored up in heaven as treasure, it will remain. That it will not disappear. There's nothing that can touch it there. It remains. But also too, importantly, in that last part of that scripture, where it says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where you place your love is very important. What is it that you love? Do you love things? Do you love money? Do you love God? Do you love your Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ? Because where you place your heart is how you're going to be motivated into building. So if you want to build a close relationship with God, you need to place your heart with God. If you want to accumulate and amass wealth, then place your heart in that. But I tell you what, there's no guarantee there. There's always a guarantee with God. But in these things here on earth, there is never a guarantee. And that's because of entropy. Entropy removes those guarantees. But with God, there is no entropy. So in wrapping up this morning, now science accepts that the law of entropy exists. It's one of those things that has been tested in a laboratory. It's been tested in a test tube. We see it all around us. We don't need to place a whole lot of faith in the fact that entropy exists. All things naturally decay. Just as the geological rock formations that are so beautiful to look at, but they are here 1 minute and they'll be gone several years later. My deck posts, another one, they will disappear too one day, sadly. And entropy means that work is required for restoration. That for us personally, we are born in a state of decay because we are born in sin. It's part of, sadly, due to the fall of man and sin entering the world, we are born into that, and we can't escape it with our own natural attempts and trying to. We just simply can't escape it. It's there. But there is one. You know, God sent us one man. In fact, the Bible calls him his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who did the work that was needed to the point of death, where he was nailed to a cross. But then he rose again in victory, and through his resurrection, we are renewed. We have been restored. We have been given the opportunity to be born again in the Spirit. And now entropy does not have to hold us down, that we do not have to sin, that now through close relationship with Jesus, through close relationship with our God, that now sin becomes more distant to us. And in fact, we have to actually work to sin. But I trust we all choose to remain close to God, to remain close to our Saviour Jesus. And we do need to maintain a relationship with Jesus. We do need to maintain it. Like any relationship, you need to communicate. You need to spend time with him. You need to get to know him. Read about him. Learn about our Lord and Saviour. Learn about our God. We need to keep our relationship with him a priority in our lives, and that's where we need to exercise our love for him. Be motivated by love. Don't be motivated by duty or by fear. This way we can remain in righteousness and keep entropy away from us spiritually. Now, our God promises that one day all creation itself will be freed from this entropy, and it will no longer keep us away spiritually as well. You know, if you look into the Bible, it talks about the coming of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ when that time comes, and that things will be restored as to the way God had intended things to be before sin entered the world. That day will come, and again entropy will be removed from this from nature as it is still instead of being there as it is today. In Romans chapter 8, verse 21, it says that the creation itself will also be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. That's a promise. That's a promise that one day this earth will again be restored to how God intended it to be before sin entered the world. So this morning I'd like to just open up the front here. If anyone has any prayer needs, if there's something perhaps, if you feel you've got a sense that perhaps entropy is sitting a little bit and you'd like to receive prayer, perhaps to renew your focus upon God, to exercise your love for him, then I invite you to come forward and I'd be excited to pray with you in that as well. But also, if you have any prayer needs, if you have, if you need healing, or if there's any situations that you seek prayer for, then please come forward too. I very much would like to pray with you in that. And if you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, and you can relate to the things that I've been talking about this morning, then I invite you, this morning is a good time to make a choice for him. Perhaps even life might be going well for you. Maybe you feel that, you know, you've got everything that you need, but then you know, when you look deeply inside, you sense, perhaps what he's saying makes sense to me, that there is something missing inside my life, that I need God in my life, that I need to get to know this Lord Jesus Christ who died for me so that my sins can be forgiven and that I can receive him into my life and experience what it is to be born again, to understand what that is, and to be able to reject sin, to break the bondage of sin in my life. Now, if that's you this morning, then I invite you to come forward as well, and I'd love to pray with you and to introduce you to my Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and hopefully for him to become your Lord and Saviour as well. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this time, Lord God. We thank you that you love us so much, that you've made a plan, and that your plan is your way, Lord. It's not our way, Father. Lord, if we wanted to do things our way, Lord, we know, we understand. We've come to that place in realizing that there is no fruit in it, that the destination is a dead end. But Lord, we see that your way has fruit, that your way provides us with a purpose, that your way frees us from sin in our life, that gives us an understanding of who you are and what your plan is for me, but also to what your plan is for all of us. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done, Lord, and we just praise and glorify your holy name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.